It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming by 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up in Scotia, we'll talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Talk about the bad movies you can't help watching. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take, we'll get some of these calls here in a while, too. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's your personal savior. Kneel before him! Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
I hope you don't say that at the Schnitzer concert hall tonight. I should totally say, kneel before Tim Conway, mortals, and Louise Duarte. And we gotta. We still have no idea who that is. We should find out. If somebody knows,
I think she's Joyce DeWitt, but that's a different person.
Here's the thing: is I suspect that she's somebody's daughter. You know what I mean? Like the daughter, like she's the daughter of like Tim Conway's son or something, or like the nephew of like some guy that Tim Corman's the stepdaughter is living with or something. Is that? Mm-hmm. That's what that is. I mean, it seems like we would have at least, I mean, you know, because you and I got the same comedic tastes in many ways. Seems like we would have heard of her. But by the same token, if she's not of that generation, it seems unlikely that Tim Conway and Harvey Korman would be having, like, the hot new young comic opening up for them.
Maybe she's the new Paula Poundstone.
Maybe she doesn't even...
New Paula Poundstone.
Maybe she. Maybe she's not even a comedian. Maybe they're going to do the... Maybe she's like a piano player or something.
Sour and half or something.
Maybe they're just... Yes. I was just going to say, maybe she's just like a pianist or something. She's going to come out, and maybe it's like a variety type show. She'll come out and she'll juggle her.
Sock shoe?
She'll
tap dance?
Taser a bear or something. And then... Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
The bad news for folks in Camas, that smelly Georgia-Pacific plant that most people work at, they're going to lose 300 jobs.
Also, you live in Camas.
Yep. And that's 40% of their workforce. They make things there out of trees and paper and whatnot.
They make things out of a series of tubes.
That 68-year-old man who almost accompanied Corey Lytle on his fatal flight in New York City last month has died in a different plane crash.
What?
Bob Cartwright, whose friended personal pilot, died in the crash that also killed the Yankee pitcher and two other men. When the private plane crashed. Well, apparently this plane crashed at Big Bear Lake in California. Last month, Cartwright's friend Tyler Stranger invited him to a playoff game between the Yankees and the Tigers, but Cartwright couldn't make it. So, with that flight, Lytle and Stranger died with a plane crash in an apartment building. And he said right after that crash, I was supposed to be on that plane.
That's some, like, creepy Final Destination stuff right there. So he was supposed to be on the Corey Lytle flight. Mm-hmm. He said no, and then God just killed him a couple weeks later in a different plane crash. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what are you going to do? You got to come and if your number's up, your number's up, friend.
Police in Castleberry, Florida, are searching for a man who used a box cutter to escape a Target store after he was caught on video stuffing at least one cell phone down his pants. Investigators released surveillance video of a man in a black outfit at Target using a box cutter to take a cell phone out of the box. He's then seen putting the item down his pants. A short time later, the video showed the man being confronted by security. He pulled out the box cutter and told them... He would cut them up if they didn't move.
Fantastic.
He began to run at them while swinging the box cutter. His security judge jumped out of the way and the man took off.
Here's the thing about...
He's driving a red Dodge.
And I read some article the other day that said that in New York City, because they've got this thing in New York where the high school kids aren't allowed to bring cell phones in at all anymore, and so girls are just circumventing that by hiding the phones in a private area. Not, I believe, just in the general, in their underwear. Under the theory that a security guard's not going to pat your crotch to find out whether you're smuggling something in.
It's
so,
true.
So it's...
Please
to be elaborating now.
No, it's the common fact that if you want to get anything into a concert, you stick it in your underwear.
I suppose that would be true. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah, they're not going anywhere near there.
No, and no. Would that work for men, too? Probably less so. Because, look, now I've been patted down by a couple, you know, by security guards and whatever and so forth a couple times, not a lot, but a couple times where they'll do, like, the real quick, not, like, on the front of your junk itself. But they'll do that inside the thigh real quickly, and it's clearly to see if you've got, like, a gun stuck by your by your
watch. Like, they're not going anywhere in this area.
No, that's true. So there you go, kids. Apparently, the key to smuggling things is to hide it by your privates. So just the word, just the more you know. And knowing really is half the battle.
It is. Here's Tim Riley. Nearly 6 months after authorities discovered the body of a missing New Jersey college student in a Pennsylvania landfill, investigators are now looking at whether his death was a tragic result of a game of hide and seek. In a mass email sent to students at the College of New Jersey, school officials asked if any students playing hide-and-seek around will fall around the sign and that John Fioso Jr. went missing.
I'm going to hide at the bottom of a landfill. They'll never find me.
Do you have any knowledge of this fellow engaging in any such game on the ground floor of Wolf Hall, within the computer room, or any other area at any time? Asked the email. Authorities searching a landfill in Bucks County went there after his blood was found in a trash bin outside his dormitory. Police have not determined whether somebody dumped him into the bin or whether he plunged into it in the dormitory's trash chute. The 19-year-old is an art major from Mantua. He was last seen alive at 3 o'clock in the morning in a dorm room.
His blood...
On the other hand, though, he did indisputably win this game of hide-and-seek. There is no debating.
What kind of... How corrupt is the state of New Jersey that his blood is found in a trash bin, yet his body is found at a landfill at the bottom, and the thing... He was hiding. He was all... Are they speculating that he hid inside a dumpster?
That's what's confusing me. So was he compacted with the trash?
Oh, was he compacted? That sounds like a colon condition.
It's possible, I suppose.
All right. Well, there you go.
In New Jersey. Only in New Jersey would that ever be the case, by the way.
Well, there was a story. This actually was just 2 days ago in Yahoo News. There was a story, I swear to God, about a case in New Jersey where a guy shot in the mouth, and I think his hands tied together, and then an anchor, like a rope tied around both ankles with an anchor tied to the end of it at the bottom of the ocean, and I swear to God they ruled it a suicide. It sounds like a joke. But it was in Yahoo News just the other day. The authorities are calling it a suicide. Guy shot, anchor wrapped around his feet at the bottom of the Hudson. Authorities say it's a very cleverly staged suicide. So there you go. Let's do one more and then we'll talk to Scott Daly.
My name is Errol Starr. Jaime Presley is pregnant. Even though...
I'm looking forward to having my baby.
She denied it for months. The 29-year-old actor made it official on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. That's still on. That she's 4 months of lying and explained why she wanted to keep it a secret. She says she didn't care if the press got mad at her for lying, so the press is going to call me a liar, and you can go right ahead. I'm telling you the truth now. I'm 4 months, and the baby's healthy, and I'm healthy, and we're good. This actor comes from North Carolina, says she and a fiancé, Eric Cubicle, were trying for a baby. Her rep confirmed the star's engagement to the L.A.-based DJ, although they don't name him. Who's on a Ryan Seacrest, pick a name out of my hat, last month?
Let's start that right now. Jamie Presley has been impregnated by Ryan Seacrest. Seacrest in. And then out. Then in again. See? It's funny, because... Hello.
In, out. Come on, that's funny.
It is funny.
Jamie Presley is hot, by the way. You are lying. I do not believe you're laughing on the inside either. Let's just take a moment, though, to reflect on how hot Jamie Presley is and how much she's just going to be ruined by having a baby. Yeah, there you go. Well, it was nice while it lasted, Jamie. Thank you. Thank you for the many sweet years that you gave me before deciding to ruin your body. Boy, she is... You know what makes her...
She looked really cute on Entourage.
Oh, man. Oh, she's just gorgeous. She really is. And I know that those are implants, but she's gorgeous anyway. And I got to say... Well, don't you think? They look way too firm.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure those are implants. She really is gorgeous. And you know what makes her even hotter to me is just that she's just relentlessly trashy. Have you ever seen her interviewed? I mean, she is full on.
Where's she from? North Carolina?
Yes. Yeah. You hear the phrases. She really is dangerously close to that. Do you watch My Name is Earl at all?
I've seen one episode and it was hysterical.
It's funny.
I loved it.
I mean, it's not breaking any new ground. I mean, it's just a sitcom. But it's a funny sitcom. In sitcom, you know, it's all relative. In terms of sitcom, that's a funny show. And I got to tell you, man, she is not too far removed from that Joy character in real life. She is pretty goddamn trashy. And that, of course, just makes her exponentially more hot to me. Jamie Presley. All right. Well, there we go. We will revisit the Ministry of Truth here at the bottom of the hour. Scotty J, if you could please be escorting Scott Daly, who I will not call Scotty. I will not call Scotty. I swear to God, I won't call him Scotty. To the Rick Emerson, the studio here from Film Fever. Oh, I didn't queue up
the thing. Do you want me to play it?
Wait, hold on.
Wait, right. Punch the little buttons. No. Things.
I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
Do we have any?
I have.
Go.
Oh, no, no, no.
Ah!
welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Now, welcome to the Rick Emerson.
I don't want. Rick, you play this too much.
God, that kills my head.
What?
Huh?
Goodbye, Connie. I don't mean to take away your creative freedom. I cannot listen to that.
All right. Hello. Can you hear me in the back?
All right.
Will you please turn it off?
Scott Dadlin now joining us from filmfeverradio.com. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Thank you for coming by. What?
Rick, turn it off.
What? What? It's off. Okay, it's off now.
Oh, it is?
All right, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, fine, it's off. All right.
Okay.
Come on, it's funny.
Yeah.
Repetition makes things more amusing.
It's like the.
Are you making up for the Ryan Seacrest joke?
Oh, that was funny.
All right.
With it, Seacrest in?
Yeah.
And out.
That was good.
See, because she's pregnant.
Not with his baby.
Now we're starting the rumor,
buttons
though.
Buttons and things.
See, come on, that's funny.
That was funny.
Can
that
you turn
Larry
this up
King
so I can play the Larry King?
It's funny.
Ah, you fell for it again.
Hey, Sarah, did you know Goebbels not a good
thing? All right. All right.
So, anywho, what the hell are we talking about here? Well, I mean, I got to get these phone calls.
All right. Let's see here. Let's welcome...
You got to turn it up so I can
turn it off.
I got to play the Aaron Geek in the City Center.
Fine.
All right, is it up?
Yes.
All right, Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how can I help you?
Oh, I've got a fantastic idea. Well, maybe a repulsive idea for your largest event ever.
The best part is that Sarah was actually on the way to putting food in her mouth. And as you said, I have the most repulsive idea. She sort of took the pretzel back out and sort of looked at it reflectively and then just sort of set it down on the counter to eat it later.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, here we go. It's the largest breastfeeding event. So you could have mammoth amounts of people there.
Mammofest.
They've had that. They've got all these women standing.
This is a part two. And then on the other side of the street, you could have the largest group of anti-breastfeeding hecklers.
Is that it?
No. Hello?
No. No, no I...
Yeah, no. Okay, maybe that
sucks. Yeah, no. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
I remember that. That's what got me on the breastfeeding thing.
Yeah,
when they're like, we have the right to show our breasts in public and milk our babies.
Milk our babies. I don't think you babies. I think they put you in a small room for 20 years for that. What's wrong with Judge? He was milking a baby. That's funny. Milking babies is funny.
What's wrong with you?
Just picture them in a stall with that little machine hooked up to them. Come on. I know you...
I love that. I was watching the Travel Channel the other night, and Terry, or at Michael,
you are a you lead an exciting life.
Michael Palin was milking yaks.
Are you still employed?
And you
look at him.
And you
look at him.
I didn't really look at you, Jesus. Hold on, we're talking to Scott Dally. Now let me just say this. Your okay, hold on. I just got to describe.
Oh God.
Your shirt is A, unironed, or B, ironed badly.
Okay, it's ironed badly.
Okay. C, it's unbuttoned to like the middle of your
It's a wrinkly
chest,
white
and
short sleeve shirt.
A wife beater on underneath, and your
t-shirt.
You haven't shaved today.
No,
it's or yesterday
days.
From the look.
A couple days.
Does your wife think you're at work? Is this like the full Monty? I'm going off to the office now. And then you're just like at a movie theater crying?
I
you look really laid back.
No, I this is my last day before 9 days of vacation.
See, that must have been me. Somebody was telling me, so it's not going to be my Chris. Somebody told me, they're like, I am a million days of vacation.
You just taunt Mailman Chris with the 9 days of vacation.
Yeah, well, he's a government employee. So
there's that, and I haven't really had any appointments the last couple of days. Most of my days have been in my office.
So you've been watching a lot of movies in the theater to review for us. Film critic
no,
guy.
I've been working, and yes, I have seen some movies to review for you.
What do you have? What have you seen in the theater?
I am going to review the new Bond film.
Okay.
And Happy Feet.
Happy Feet.
Yes. What is Happy Feet?
Nah, it's the new
penguins.
One. Penguin dancing, singing.
Oh, God. Are they gay penguins?
With Robin Williams.
Why do you do this to me?
Isn't Brittany Murphy in that, too?
Yeah, Brittany Murphy, Elijah Wood, Robin Williams, Nicole Kidman, and Hugh Jackman. It's really terrible.
Can I just... No.
Even I took my son to see it last week, who's four, and halfway through the movie he goes, Daddy, can we leave?
Oh, there you go. You know, the thing about animated films is, if you are a guy like... and it doesn't affect me, because I don't have any kids, and I'm not retarded, so I don't see these films. But if you are a guy like Billy West... Who Billy West was the voice of Ren and Stimpy.
Hold up. He was the voice of Stimpy. John Kay was the voice of Ren.
For a while.
Yeah.
Eventually,
but then when Billy West took over, it sucked.
All right, whatever. I'm just saying, but Billy West was also the voice. He's the voice of Fry.
Right.
He's the voice of Professor Farnsworth. He's the voice of, God, somebody else in that show. Not Zap Brannigan, but he's the voice of like four characters on Futurama. He's a very...
He's great. He's very talented.
He's a very... He was the voice of Bugs Bunny in that, that horrible, you know, whatever.
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
If you're a guy like Billy West, Billy West, who is one of the most talented voice actors of our generation,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. He makes very, I mean, you can do Ren and Bugs Bunny and Philip J. Fry, and they're all coming out of the same voice, the same guy, same head. And it's got to piss that guy off that he's sitting in here, and there's like an animated film, and instead they just go pay like, you know, let's get Will Smith to voice the pig, you know, or whatever. And he's probably sitting on the couch going, hello? I'm only the most talented voice guy in the country. And meanwhile, it's like, well, look, can we get Julia Roberts, you know, or whatever?
Well, I blame Aladdin, actually. I like Aladdin, but I blame Aladdin and Disney for starting the mainstream actors to voice animated films.
Totally.
Because Aladdin was huge because of Robin Williams. If Robin Williams hadn't voiced the genie, we wouldn't have every single A-list actor doing these crappy animated films. Now, when I say crappy... I hate the excuse, oh, it's a kid's movie, so it's okay. I'm sorry. Let's loot our young life.
Let's accept Drek because it's for children.
But look at Pixar. I mean, every single animated film they put out, they do it well, and they do it without advertising who the voices are.
Yep.
And it works.
It's true. Rick, we got something about Lisa Goddard's name. We'll get to that later.
She was begging you to suggest Lisa Emerson today. I could hear her.
Oh, no,
her
he
voice.
Did it yesterday, awkwardly.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, let's rehash it endlessly.
Yeah, he brought it up after he didn't even have the email. He tried to play it off that it was an email from a listener, which
it was. An email.
Which it was, but he was trying to squeeze it in between a bunch of other stuff, and then he didn't even have the email up. So he's just kind of bringing it up to make him sound less creepy.
It was the creepiest sound.
I heard it in her voice today. So, Rick, any new last names for me?
Rick Emerson? The best part is that Scott, if I remember correctly, Scott, actually, I don't have it in front of me, but he actually sent me an email.
That's right.
Saying, let's see, where is it here? I don't think I have it. But look at this, Sarah. Here's the email from Scott. He puts it in like 80 points up. She's begging you to suggest Emerson. I can hear it in her voice. So, know that that is Scott saying that, not me.
And you know that came from my work email address, therefore I was at work today.
Rick, Seacrest in, out. My boss just stuck her big head in my office asking why I'm laughing so loud. And then it signed Mike, soon to be unemployed in Portland. What are you going to do? Let's get a couple of these, we'll get a couple of these calls. And then we'll talk about these films that you, the films that Stephanie Miller would say that you have to review. Let's see. We're talking about making the world's largest blank of blank.
Oh.
Because we had the story of the largest ball of twine.
Right.
And that's been done, or with largest rubber band ball, but it's been done. And so for the Rick Emerson show, we're going to try to attract a little media attention and shamelessly whore ourselves. The largest blank of blank.
The largest gathering of people across a bridge in a city.
Now, see, but somebody suggested that, most devil horns, but I think the Guinness people have to be there.
To witness it?
Okay. I don't think it can be retroactive. Let's see. Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Or ma'am, as the case may be.
Well, thank you very much. It's the man.
Thank you. Okay.
There's two options, and it's kind of apropos after your last conversation about the breastfeeding and the breast pumping. How about having bras, starting with Springer bras up to 42 triple Ds?
So we have the bras, and then what?
No, two options. You can start from the trainer bra and work up, or it's up to 42 D double Ds or triple Ds.
Is this just an excuse for you to call up and talk about bras with your pants off?
Oh, I'm trying to give you an uplift.
Okay, what would... An uplift, thank you. What would...
I thought you could get your lips around this.
He's trying to support you a little bit, Rick.
you know.
And, okay, we're done. Thank you. Goodbye, sir.
All right. Let's have about this. Eric, here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
Well, I was thinking, let's go with the biggest ball of rock and roll. Get everybody to get their old cassette tapes, unwind them, and wind them back up.
Biggest ball of cassette tape.
Sort of I like the biggest ball of rock and roll.
The biggest ball of rock and roll. But what would it be? Okay, now there's a thought there. Maybe you know that brown tape that gets unraveled out of your cassette.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
That.
Wind it all back up.
That's a great idea.
Into a large ball.
But they've all got to be rock cassettes. The world's largest ball of rock.
And you really should get a really good rock cassette to start in the middle.
Yeah, like Led Zeppelin 4, right at the core. That's what I'm talking about. This is actually not such a bad idea. That's not such a bad idea. So it's got to be cassettes, got to be rock. But, yeah, you take all that tape and you wad it up and we make it into a huge ball of rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't have the extra cassettes? I've got hundreds.
And then I'll charge KUFO rent to keep it in their lobby. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. I'll charge them to get a little cross-promotion mileage out of that. That's not such a terrible idea. The world's largest ball of rock. All right, there's something there. There's something
okay,
there. Okay,
good.
drop me an email and with your contact info. So if we do this, I can give you proper credit. Don't everybody be emailing me credit, claiming to be Eric. Don't be a dick. just email me and tell me who you are so we can credit you.
Sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. All right. We should break here. We'll come back. A little Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah.
Then a little Scott Daly here. We'll talk about the films you saw. I got to quit saying film. Film you saw this weekend. And then Sarah is requesting that we have another pop culture face-off today.
That's right.
At stake, we have a copy of The Onion's new book, Destined for Destiny, the pseudo-autobiography of George W. Bush. You stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Yummy, yummy,
pop. Sure, it'll be fine.
Yeah, real treat.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. In a few moments, we return to Scott Daly from Film Fever, filmfeverradio.com. He's going to talk about some of the films in the theater right now. We'll talk about Oricon as well coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, your new deity, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We'll have a detailed account of the life of Louise Duarte
coming up in just a moment.
Fantastic.
But first, an Italian town has been overrun by tomcats. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes will likely wed on Saturday or Sunday. It's supposed to be whatever their religion is. Well, Scientology followed by a buffet. And no
a buffet of babies.
Whitney Houston no longer has that suburban Atlanta home she shared with Bobby Brown. The five-star, five-bedroom home went into foreclosure this fall. It was sold on the steps of the Foley County Courthouse earlier this month. The property had gone back up for sale for $1.4 million. Her attorney confirmed foreclosure to the newspaper, didn't provide details. The company bought the home in 2003 for $1.1 million. Meanwhile, Houston's New Jersey mansion slated to be sold at a sheriff's sale January 4th because the 43-year-old singer is more than $1 million behind on mortgage and taxes.
How do you know that place just reeks of, like, bong resin and stool?
Airport security will take your pocket knife and your lighter, but somehow a man managed to get three live alligators on board in a carry-on bag. Officials in Manila found the reptiles when Eugene Yi Castillo arrived from a flight in Cambodia. He said he was carrying live fish aboard. And now more on the life of Louise Duarte, who will co-star on stage this evening at the Schnitzer Concert Hall. According to IMDb, she remarried in 2000 after a long period as a divorcee.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the life of Louise Duarte.
And she began touring with comedians Harvey Korman and Tim Conway in 2001, slightly after that wedding. She also appeared in Dorf the Bingo King as a celebrity impersonator. Also, she played herself in the New Hollywood Scurs in 1988. She began on Broadway by taking over for famous impersonator Marilyn Michaels in Catskills on Broadway. Tonight, she graces our stage here at the Schnitzer Concert Hall.
Be still my beating heart. Dorf the Bingo, not the Bingo King. Da Bingo
King. possibly some rap type of thing. This is done in 2001.
Oh, God. You know, can I just tell you this? Now, look, I can say this. Now, you know I respect Tim Conway. And that's a strange thing to say. I respect him, Conway.
Oh, she did an additional voice in DC Follies in 1987.
DC Follies? Are you kidding me?
No, so we could bring that up tonight.
Sir, I respect Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. They're not pioneers necessarily, but very, very good at what they do in terms of that type of sketch
and
comedy.
And Louise Duarte is not?
Sorry. I didn't mean to say sacrilege. Among the best that ever engaged in that kind of thing. They really are the gold standard in some ways, and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just going to say, man, can I just tell you, I hate that dwarf stuff.
Wait, I thought you were going to say something else.
What?
No, nothing.
What did you think I was going to say?
I'm not going to say it. No.
No, I was going
to
say
that. We have to go there later.
The dwarf stuff is not... The dwarf stuff is just not for me. The dwarf stuff I just don't really care for. That's my thing.
I will bring that up on stage then.
Yeah, let's make sure to mention that. Rick Emerson, who loathes the dwarf skit. It's not that I loathe it. It's just that, I don't know. The problem is it's like he had that one big hit with that, and it's like that was just all he did for like the next 10 years. And I kept waiting for him to do other types of films. It didn't really happen. It was like, man, he was just going to keep doing that dwarf. Dwarf on pool. Dwarf on ping pong. Dwarf on, whatever. Dwarf on roller coasters. And it was just the whole thing. I'm going to kneel for an hour and a half while things hit me in the groin. And that was not that there's not a little bit of gold there, but I'm just saying. So there you go.
Louise Duarte was also on the Kraft Super Show in 1976 as one of the Kongs.
Is that true? She was on the Kraft Superstar Show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm wrong. She was also in The World of Sin and Marty Kraft, the Hollywood Bowl in 1973.
Is there a picture?
Of her?
Yeah.
There were none available. No, I'm sure she's an attractive woman. It's not available for some reason. There may be autographed pictures there tonight. And that is the life of Louise Duarte.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman ever. No, the dwarf thing is funny, but I think you got to be... I think by the time the dwarf thing happened... I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think I was too old for it by then.
You know,
the dwarf thing, how do I put this? I know a lot of people who were sort of younger at that point. 12-year-olds love it. 12-year-olds love the dwarf thing. Me, it just got old, like, after the second one, you know?
You know, I spent many, many years in a video store, and it seems like every stinking week we get our new releases, and there's one or two new Dwarf movies, and every single week, that 65, you got the latest Dwarf movie? I like that Dwarf. He's funny.
Yeah,
there you go. Right. So, yeah.
Well, let's do this before we talk about the films that are out now.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Reporting for geekinthecity.com, our good friend Diana from downtown. What's up, sister?
Oh, man. Oricon. There's a gal who's got to have an anti-grav unit because she's got the biggest cans in the universe, and she is not falling flat on her face.
Is this you we're talking about?
No.
Oh.
This woman makes me look flat.
Are you at... Is it going on now?
It started today.
Yeah,
I believe it's like 2 o'clock
today
or
about
something.
Noon.
And
about
so,
noon.
Well, now, for those who do not know, or please to be describing Oricon for the people in the audience, Diana.
Oricon is a science fiction and fantasy convention including writers, artists, gamers, geeks, costumers, women wearing as little as possible. It's every geek's dream.
It's everywhere you want to be.
It's a big geek fantasy fest.
That's right. Oh, and Scott and Aaron are presenting tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. We're Aaron and myself and Mr. Clyde Lewis.
That's right.
We are on two panels tomorrow and one panel on Sunday. Tomorrow, we are on a panel that talks about heroes and do we really need heroes anymore in today's films, books, literature. And the second panel that's near and dear to my heart, it's called Millions for Special Effects and Zero for Writers. Talking about how special effects take over the story in films. And then on Sunday, I'm also on a panel. Film Fever Radio is going to be part of a panel for remakes and reimaging of films, which is a subject near and dear to my heart because I just learned this morning that they're remaking The Thing again.
Again?
Oh.
Yes.
Well, who? When you say
I'm
they?
I'm building up my anger. Universal. That's all we know.
Please tell me it's Michael Bay. Please.
Oh, you know it's good.
What's his name? Paul Anderson guy that made Soldier.
Yeah. You know Michael Bay, Paul Anderson, somewhere. Bruckheimer's falls somewhere in there.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, so we're going to be panels. The first panel tomorrow that we're going to be on is at 3 o'clock. Next one's at 6 o'clock. And then the remake panel is Sunday at 3 o'clock down at Oricon. It's at the Marriott right downtown, around the waterfront. Like Dinah said, lots of geeks, lots of scantily clad women, and just good times.
All right.
Are you there right now, Dinah?
Yeah, I'm right
okay.
now. Let's see. I'm trying to find out. Teresa Dark Lady is having her panel on erotic party impresario and how to bring eroticism to science fiction. I'm thinking that room should be packed with your listeners.
I can never get enough of Kirk making out with Spock, frankly. So
if Rick gets a 0.06 share today, we know where he's listening.
Seriously, and mention, by the way, that I got a whole pile of G.I. Joe and Jem erotic fiction that somebody sent me earlier this week. All right, thank you,
hey,
Diana.
Turn his sister on there, buddy.
I'll pass you the link. Thank you, Diana.
See you tomorrow.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Well, before we break, so let's talk a little bit about the film's opening theory. So you've seen the new Bond.
Yeah, the new Bond. Yeah,
what's the word?
It's good. It's really good. Daniel Craig finally can pull off a Bond, and I'm glad they chose Daniel Craig to play Bond. Daniel Craig, most of you may remember him from Munich.
He was the blonde guy with the Hawaiian, the sort of loud shirt.
Yeah,
he was really great. He was really good.
The thing I liked about this Bond, one, it kind of resets the whole Bond story. The film is Casino Royale. It's the first Ian Fleming book that introduces the world of James Bond. Very beginning of the film, he doesn't even have his 00 license yet. And so that's where the film kind of takes off. It's very stylish. It's a really, really nice looking film. It's really, really sharp. And it's violent. It's really violent. It's weird because, you know, you think of James Bond, you think of...
Well, they said he bleeds in this one.
He bleeds in this one. The bad guys bleed in this one. It's kind of a dark film, actually.
Now, does he have his license to kill at the beginning?
Not at the beginning.
I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but it's known that this is how he gets his license to kill.
He gets his license in the first 10, 15 minutes of the film. And then it kind of progresses from there. But it's a really well done, solid film. I think Daniel Craig is going to do a really, really good James Bond. And I'm really glad they kind of chose an unknown, if you will.
Well, and then he doesn't look like all the other. He doesn't look like Pierce Brosnan.
Exactly.
Now, is it fair to call this an origin film? This is the origin of James Bond?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's enough to get me to see where
I'm a big Bond fan.
I'm not.
This is film 21.
I'm not.
21st Bond film.
I'm a casual Bond fan.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, you know, you were Siegfried, one of those guys who's just so into it.
Oh, I'm not a Siegfried Bond fan. But I enjoy the films, and the last 15 years or so, Timothy Dalton's boring.
God, he was terrible.
Pierce Brosnan was good at the beginning, but he just lost it because he just didn't care anymore. The only thing that really kind of bothers me, two things about me in this film. One, Bond doesn't smoke. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, Bond's got to smoke. And does he get with the ladies?
Oh, yeah. He gets with the ladies. And number two, Judi Dench returns as M. In the book, and this is not a sexist thing at all, but in the book, if they want to stay true to Bond... M is male. It's just the way it is.
Is that true?
So, yeah, it's true. So it's a little...
Well, that is kind of weird.
It's a little strange.
All right.
Strange.
And there's no Q, right?
No Q.
Yeah, because this is before he gets all gadgety and whatnot.
Exactly. It works really, really well. I highly recommend it. If you're a Bond fan, even if you're a waning Bond fan, go back and get introduced to Bond again, because it was really well done.
What is the... what's the other film that you've seen?
Happy Feet.
Oh, God. What's going to be terrible? So let's break here.
Okay.
Build up our intestinal fortitude. We'll come back. We'll talk about Happy Feet.
I'm ready for the pop culture challenge, my friend.
No, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll come... Yeah. You didn't win last time, did you?
I won twice
last time.
You didn't win twice? What do you mean you won twice?
You've only won once.
No, I won twice.
You won twice?
Yeah.
The first time
I played against the caller and he didn't get the tickets. The second time I played for the caller, he won the tickets.
I don't remember. I think you're making this up.
I remember that. Yeah.
All right.
True.
Pop Culture Face-Off with Scott Dannon. We come back. And then tonight, Tim Riley and I at Tim Conway, Harvey Korman at the Schnitzer, the Farewell Show. We're going to be there tonight. MCing that. Back in a few. Don't go anywhere. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Here is Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Also inexplicably entering the studio, our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11 right here on AM 970 Solid State Radio, beginning tomorrow. It's all very exciting. Are you thrilled? Are you nervous? Excited?
I am very thrilled.
Don't choke tomorrow.
He looks really nervous.
Don't choke tomorrow.
You guys can see Dennis. No, you have like a little glimmer of fear in your eyes.
A little. Well, because I just went over and I looked at Buzz's just magnificent work that he's done with the imaging for the show, and it sounds great, but there was just a couple things that I gave him completely the wrong information. So that's
well done.
All falls on
well,
my
you're
shoulders.
Off on the right foot anyway.
But I thought I'd come by, and I saw Scott Daly. I thought, you know what we do? We need to go. We need to tag team you.
Borat style.
And I don't mean that in a man-on-man way. I mean that...
Well, you guys are both men.
Well, no, but... Well, I guess... Maybe I do mean that in a man-on-man way. I thought... Well, Scott, are you in?
You're speaking for yourself there, pal. Sorry.
Scott Dalek, in. Well, let's real quickly do this, then we'll do the pop culture face-off. Michael, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
First of all, I want those... Tim Conway, Harvey Korman tickets. I want to say thank you.
Not at all. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be very cool. I mean, Tim and I were talking about this, actually. We've heard from a lot of people who, you know, grew up watching that guy, and Harvey Korman, you know, was with him, too, and then Blazing Saddles and all those guys through the years. So that's going to be the night. Pretty much your last chance, I think, to get tickets right about now. I think if they're not sold out, they're almost sold out. Tonight, the Schnitzer, Tim Riley and I emceeing Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, the farewell performance tonight. So, yeah, so we're looking forward to it.
That's enough. Oh, you do realize this is your world premiere of your hair.
Oh, that's right. The world
pass. Reveal?
My new dome. Well, it's nothing. I mean, it's really... Well, Sarah, you're a better one than Wayne. It's really nothing exceptional at the moment. It just looks like I got a real short haircut.
Just looks like you have a real short haircut.
Because this, I think, is still all my old hair right here. Because I don't think... The guy's like... I think it's 90 days or whatever before you see any of the... You know, because you think about how slow your hair grows, and this is actually, it starts up beneath the scalp, actually, below the surface of the scalp. So it's, yeah.
Or else you stare at your head.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? So, I mean, I don't look like a cancer patient anymore, so that's good. All right, thank you. And thank you, Michael. And real quickly, Brad, the car guy, you have a car question to Scott Daly.
You know what's great, Dennis is there, because I couldn't remember, I haven't read any. What's the car he drives? Is he back to the Aston Martin?
Oh, the car, do we know what car Bond drives in the new film?
I see.
You don't have to whisper. You know, you are. People know you're here.
Oh, sorry.
You're signing it to him.
Car expert, take this. Well, I wasn't sure what car it was when I saw it, actually. So, Dennis, so
I believe it's the DB9 from Aston Martin.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I mean, it, you know, Bond and Aston Martin go hand in hand. So,
one other comment is, I think Grace Slick should be permanently banned from any reunion of Bond girls because it's just wrong.
Grace Sweat?
Grace Slick?
Oh, Grace Slick. Oh, I totally agree.
No,
you know, the best thing about a View to a Kill
Grace
is...
Jones.
Grace Jones. There you go.
Grace Jones.
The best thing about View to a Kill is that Duran Duran did the opening to the song, but the worst thing about it, and that Christopher Walken is in it, the worst thing about it was Grace Jones, man. Just awful.
Yeah, she's a terrifying woman. All right, there's Brad the Car Guy. All right, let's quickly... Are we ready to do the pop culture face-off here?
Yes, we'll do movie ones again.
All right. We don't even have a listener, I realize, for this. Well, that's okay. We're just going to do it. This is for pride. This is just for the pride. For the eye of the tiger.
Right, how many questions?
I don't know. Let's do a bunch.
I don't know. We'll just roll them. Well,
you guys are pretty good competition against each other.
So now, is this going to be me versus Scott and Dennis?
If you want.
That's fun,
so
baby.
I came in here and Scott goes, I said, Scott, we should go 2-on-1. He says, I don't need the help.
Yeah, no, he did. Scott's like, I'll take the help, but I don't need
it. Well, do you want to stand aside with me, Dennis, and watch them go?
Dennis can help. I would love Dennis's help.
No, I'm going to stand over here. Sarah, I get to pick some of the questions for once because I think these are loaded.
All right, pick the category.
Okay, well, we're going to do movies.
Okay.
All right. We're going to call our name to our names, our buzzer?
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. What real-life television figure does Christopher Plummer portray in The Insider?
Scott. Mike Wallace.
That was me. I totally
no,
had that.
No, that was before the Earth.
He's got an easier name to say.
Okay.
That's your excuse.
Come out.
Okay, cool. Who played the young Vivi Walker in The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood?
Oh,
I know this.
Oh, God. Like any man knows. If you know it, you got to turn in your balls.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
You know, he knows it. Now you just scared him off because he's trying to peer pressure him.
Lindsay Lohan. I have no idea.
Ashley Judd.
Okay.
Don't be ashamed.
Glad you didn't know it.
I am ashamed. Seriously.
I knew it.
Okay. What movie star co-produced One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Rick. Michael Douglas.
That's correct.
Very good.
It's one for me, Rick.
All right. What message appears on Regan's stomach in The Exorcist?
Rick, help me.
Yes.
It's one for me, Rick Emerson.
What's the name of the house cat who lives with Stuart Little?
Oh, you have a kid. You probably know this.
No, I don't.
I got nothing. Stuart Little.
I guess Snowbell.
Okay.
Okay, what 1993 crime thriller about serial killers starred Juliette Lewis and Brad Pitt?
Scott. California.
I choked on that one. All right.
Okay, what is the name of the woman who raised Dr. Evil?
I don't know anything about Austin Powers.
Nah, I don't really either.
Remember the opening montage?
Yeah.
Not the opening montage, but he talks about his childhood.
Vaguely.
Chloe.
Okay.
Well, she was club-footed, I believe. I don't know why I remember that.
I think you're right, actually, yes.
All right.
Now that you mention it.
Okay, what fraternity is home to...
Oh!
Oh!
What are you doing? I was just throwing your...
Dennis is breaking stuff in the back of the... Why don't you just, yeah, just okay. Stumble around and break things.
I'm not going to...
Thanks.
That
do that tomorrow when you're on the air, too.
So mean.
Microphones.
All right, what fraternity is home to Bluto, Flounder, what? Otter, and Boone?
Delta Tau Chi.
That's correct.
That's one for me, Rick Emerson.
Yes, it is.
What film features Angelica Houston and John Cusack as mother and son Connor?
Scott.
Rick! Oh, you bastard!
Yeah, on your
totally
face, Rick Emerson.
Knew that one.
In your face.
We're tied, baby.
Okay. What 2003 Ted Turner pet project was a $90 million Civil War epic?
Scott. Gettysburg.
Wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
No!
Unless they changed the name. I've never heard of this
one. That's it. They changed the name.
Gettysburg, and there was another one.
You can't answer again. You answered
you're right,
wrong.
You're right, but I
Gods in General?
That's the one.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Totally.
I knew that.
It's 4 hours. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Really good, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys still tied?
We're still tied.
What film has Sylvester Stallone as a cab driver and Dolly Parton as the lady who turned him into...
Scott!
Oh.
That was me!
No, Rick
that was me, okay. And the answer is Rhinestone.
First.
That's true.
Tried to give that one to Scott. No, I saw that. That was a little favoritism.
I
was throwing it.
You notice I gave it to you, though.
Yeah.
I could have easily
Scott has
that.
Honor.
All right, boys. What was the first film to gross over $100 million
Rick.
In a studio release?
Jaws.
That's one for me, Rick Emerson.
What American History X director?
Rick. Tony K.
God damn it.
Oh.
What was the Indian name of Mary McDonald's character in Dances with Wolves?
Rick. Hated that movie. No clue.
Ass. I don't know. I got nothing.
Stands with a fist.
Whatever.
In Rushmore, what are the two achievement pins that...
Rick! No! Punctuality and attendance.
What kind of attendance?
Perfect attendance.
That's correct.
That's right. That's one
right.
For me, Rick Emerson.
Oh, I already had this one.
You can just give up now if you'd like.
I don't know.
You know, I'm not even going to answer this next question. I'll
do
let you
need
have
to
it.
Stand in there?
All right, Scotty.
I'm going to sit this next question.
Scott.
Scotty,
okay.
You take
right.
it.
Who played Jim Morrison in the film The Doors?
Val Kilmer.
Okay.
I'll let you take the
Mark
next
it. Mark it. Mark it.
Okay.
Mark it.
Have Thank the next
In The Matrix, what is Thomas Anderson's cyberspace moniker?
Neo.
Yeah.
Mark
right,
it. There you go. I'll step back in now.
What theory did John Nash good. Advance in A Beautiful Mind?
Ooh.
Rick, chaos theory.
Nope.
Oh.
Ooh. And then we gotta wrap
okay.
it up here in a second.
What is Simon Bishop's or Greg Kinnear's dog's name as good as it gets?
Throws him down the hamper.
I know. Tinkerbell? Tinker?
Oh, it's already gone. I don't know.
Sorry. What is it?
I don't
know.
Burdell?
Well, because he's gay, Burdell. His dog has to be named Tinkerbell.
Yes.
Well,
what
he
I'm
is.
Saying.
He is a homosexual.
All right.
What if they
one
all
more.
Name their dogs?
Are you tied?
All right.
No, he's up by two.
Up by two.
In what city does Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil take
Scott.
Place?
Scott. New Orleans.
No.
No.
No, I don't
wrong.
Know.
I'm wrong.
Atlanta?
It was at Savannah, Georgia.
Oh. Yeah, somewhere Metal Chris is screaming right now.
Okay,
right.
And this
One
is
more.
This is pertinent to today.
Okay, final question.
What actor played James Bond only once?
Rick. George Scott.
God, it's
George
Lazenby.
Yeah, so it's only because you heard me say George.
That is for me, Rick Emerson, with the win,
no,
bitches.
No, no. That's
all
only
right,
because you heard me say George.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
The postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Hello, mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
Hey, did Dalton play Bond more than once?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not
twice,
a Bond fan,
maybe three
so.
Times.
License to Kill and Living Daylight.
I can just remember Living Daylight.
I'm going to throw down the gauntlet again next week, Emerson.
Yeah,
this
you throw it down
over.
All you
this
want, baby.
This is not over.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll come in and help.
Now Dennis coming to help me.
Yeah, help. Dennis, you were a huge help. Thanks a lot for that. You really made all the difference.
I knew the name of the dog.
Moving forward, how can I help you, Chris? Where
know,
are we at today?
I guess that you could... well, you didn't get the worst story ever.
No.
And
I didn't get to anything.
We didn't talk about punishing the brother of the listener.
No.
But you did get the other four, so that'll put you at 54.
All right, 54. That's not so bad.
Okay, where were you last week at this time, Rick?
30-something?
31. Something. 23.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
On those panels, can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's a Nubian?
You know, so funny.
Shut the F up!
So funny.
Black Rage!
Last night, Aaron, Clyde, and I were eating at Baja Fresh, and talking about panels, and I looked at Aaron going,
What's a Nubian?
We all just busted up laughing. Good call, my friend. Good call.
5% joke there. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you guys.
Right, there you go.
Thank you. And talk to you Monday.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye, Chris.
Okay. There you go.
I know everyone was that laughed at that. But
you see that? He the devil. All right.
White man trying to put the black man down.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
What do you see? A poor little white man.
His Vader's beautiful black visage is sullied.
Say it on the bill.
All right, then.
Lando Calrissian. Sorry.
We still have time. You can keep going.
No, we got to stop. We got to put a pin in it now. FilmFeverRadio.com.
Yes, sir. A new show up this week. We do talk about the new Bond flick and a bunch of other random crap. But this weekend, really, most importantly, we are at Oricon. We're on three different panels throughout the weekend. Clyde Lewis, I believe, is on seven different panels. So we're going to be busy this weekend. Plus, this weekend, we're also recording our November Film Fever Drunken Radio Commentary.
Have radio commentary that isn't drunken?
No. That's the whole fun of it. Star Trek II, The Wrath the con. So that'll be up next week, and in December, our Christmas film, Rick,
there, Die Hard, baby. Yeah. Best holiday film ever. I am so there.
Right.
Dennis Pitsenbarger, this is your chance to choke once more.
Oh, Dennis.
Tomorrow.
Good luck, pumpkin.
Do you want me to help?
Yeah, will you hold me real quick while I do this? No, tomorrow, 9 a.m. on the
Maybe Rick and
Scott
can tag team you.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing.
That's okay. Hey, you wouldn't be the first cyclist I hit. Hey,
I don't even know what that means.
Cannot believe all you said that.
Dennis, you are going to make some enemies.
You know what he's talking about.
One ton.
What, when he plowed down that guy?
Just about 10 degrees in the steering wheel, dude, could be just fine.
Okay, I was on my cell phone. I didn't see her.
I don't even know how to respond. Stop letting him promote his show now. His microphone is off. Okay.
Barry Box called the AM Studios of
what?
State Radio.
I can hear him.
Something about 9 tomorrow
weird?
O'clock.
And I will be now
thank you.
Going down and being very nice to Sarah.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 to 11, right here on this radio station, filmfeverradio.org and thefuelshow.com. I'm sorry, filmfeverradio.com and thefuelshow.com. We want to thank Sarah Dillon, Jim Rook, Tim Riley, Scotty J, Dave Zinn, Ed McCarthy, Lisa Goddard, etc. Like us next on the Bachelor's Credit. Out. Enjoy your weekend. See y'all on Monday. Bye now, kids.
Ma, 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 ma.